You know, it's God's heart, and I know it's your heart to see a greater release of miracles. Amen? It's our heart, and it's definitely God's heart to see a greater, greater release of miracles in our lives, but not only in our lives, but in our homes. That'd be a great place to start, wouldn't it? And, you know, in our church, in our community, in our nations. You know, if God had a mission statement, I'm sure it would be that none shall perish. None shall perish. In Mark 16:20, and they who are the disciples went out and preached everywhere. Where did they preach, people? Everywhere. Was it just in church? No, it was everywhere. The Lord working with them. That's the amazing part of that verse. They went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord was working with them. Every time we move out in God, wherever we are, God is working with us. We are not on our own, people. It's not up to us. It's God who's doing the miracles. It's not us. He's just working through us. Isn't that right? And you know, the Lord working with them. And what did the Lord do? Confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen? He confirms the word. Praise God. I long for this in a greater way. And I know you do too. But you know, we must pursue the reality of God's word. Last night I said, you know, people say, let's pray down revival. Well, I have a different aspect of revival, because I don't just think you can go and say, come on, revival, come down. I tell you what God wants to do. He wants to revive you. He wants to revive me. He wants us to be revived. Then when we are revived, when we are in that position, then many people become saved. Amen? Because we have been revived. Because we've come alive. Because we know that God is with us. We know that God won't leave us. And we'll see miracles through our lives. So I long to see this in our community. Our nation needs the hand of God on it right now. Amen? Miracle working God. We need to allow the word of God to be a reality in our lives. Not just something we read every morning or once a year, but you know, but reality in our lives. Expecting the word to go out and not come back void and accomplish what it was sent to do. You know, when we speak the word of God, when it goes out, it cannot come back void. When we speak the word of God, it cannot produce barrenness. If it's the word of God, it will bring life and it will bring what God wants it to bring. Amen? But it's when we speak the word of God. But when we just speak about all our problems and troubles and everything, what we think and our opinion about what's happening in the world, you know, nothing's going to happen. But when we speak the word of God, then we'll see incredible things happen. Isaiah 55:11 in the Message says, they, the words, will complete their assignment God gave them. So God gives his word an assignment. So when you speak out his word, then what God wants to happen will happen. Is that incredible? It's not if you're good or bad or amazing and all this kind of stuff. It's all about his word and his power and his might. Amen? See, when our prayer is based on the word of God, fueled by the word of God, it will accomplish the word of God. Do you feel encouraged? When received, God's word of promise will never be barren. The power in his word will always fulfill the promise of his word. I want to encourage you this morning. What is the promise that you are standing on right now? Who's got a promise in their heart right now that they're standing on and they're believing for? Just raise your hands right now. You're believing for this promise you know that God's given you. He's given you a word, and some of you have been praying for years and years and years, but I'm just telling you, God's going to touch that this morning. Just keep your hands lifted up. You know, let's just pray right now. Pray right now. Father, for every hand that's lifted, for every promise that's in these people's hearts, I pray a breakthrough right now. I pray for the suddenly ministry, Father. Many of them have prayed for a long time, but today I declare the suddenly ministry, that, Father, what they're believing for, even if it's been for years, will suddenly happen. I pray for it right now in Jesus' name. I pray for those children that have gone astray in families. I pray. I call them in. I call them in. I call them in this morning, because that's what many of us pray for. We call them in. Call them in. Father, because your word cannot come back void. And you said in Psalm 112, our children will be our legacy. And Father, some of you need to claim that. You need to stand up and claim it, that they will be your legacy. Praise God. And for every promise, Father, for everything that's in people's hearts, their desire, even to move out in ministry or whatever, Father, I pray for the suddenly ministry in this place. Suddenly, it will happen. Be encouraged, people. Keep speaking the word of God into that promise. Expect God to watch over the word, to perform it. You know, we need to represent that kind of expectation. Do you know that? That kind of faith. See, people who long for this must pursue God with reckless abandonment. And I tell you, that worship this morning, that was reckless abandonment, wasn't it? Really was reckless abandonment. Oh, I thought, I don't want to preach. I just want to sit here and be in this reckless abandonment. Why would you want to talk? But here I am. You know, so, in other words, we need to become a sent one and not a went one. Interesting, isn't it? A went one is someone who goes out on his or her own behalf. Not wrong, but I went here, I went there, I felt to go here, I felt to go there. But actually, they're actually going out on their own behalf. Can you see that? Nothing wrong with it, but it's on their own behalf. A sent one is one who goes out on behalf of the sender. That's the difference. When we are sent, people, it's not about us. It's about the one who sent us. Can you see that? If we are a went people, then people will receive us. Of course they will receive us. But when we go out as sent people, people are receiving the God we represent. See the difference? Receiving the God we represent. It has nothing to do with us personally. It has everything to do with who we are representing. Are we just going out and representing ourselves? Or are we actually representing God? Because the Word of God says the Lord works with us. He works with those that are going out representing Him. See, when we know we are sent, in other words, we're doing what God is asking us to do, then we are acting as an appointed representative of God. That's huge, isn't it? We are appointed representatives of God. But you know, with all that, we can be confident that God will back us up. Isn't that good, people? Once we get that into our hearts, we will know we have a divinely ordained assignment, and that all heaven is behind us. Isn't that great? When we go out, you know, with the word of God in our mouth, backed by the Lord, the whole of heaven is behind us. Get excited. Come on. And we will see the miraculous power of God in a greater measure, because we're not alone. You know what? You see me, but I'm not alone. And if you go, Holy Spirit, I'm finished. We are sent people. In other words, representing Jesus. It's a bit scary sometimes the way we act, isn't it? Representing Jesus. We're empowered by Jesus. When people actually represent themselves. But it has to be God's way. The Lord working with us. Amen? Matthew 10, 7 and 8 says, "And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give." That's the word of God. Gospel Mark says, "These signs will follow those who believe, the sent ones, true representatives of Christ, signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word." Do I mean it only happens when you're up here preaching? I'm probably in the pulpit more than most people, but this is not where it happens. It can happen when we are ministering to people. It could be taking a meal. It could be just saying hello to somebody. It could be loving someone. You know, whatever. You are preaching the love of God. Amen? Hugging somebody. Just being nice to someone. Forgiving someone. That is ministering to people. And he said that signs and wonders will follow. Praise God. Praise God. We all want to see people have an incredible personal encounter with God, don't we, people? And that encounter must include great Holy Ghost power. See, when miracles happen in the New Testament, it turns sinners' lives around. And Jesus didn't wait for people to come to him. He didn't just wait for people to come to church. He went everywhere. And you know what the great thing is? God doesn't wait until you're perfect, because I wouldn't be here, and neither would you lot. Yeah. Isn't that right? But Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, performed miracles wherever he went. Wherever he went, he performed incredible miracles, no matter where that was. Not a special program. I'm not against program. But you know, those people that were dictated by demons, they weren't actually put in a mental hospital, but they were delivered and set free. See, when God's kingdom world collides with the kingdom of darkness, his world has to win. So you are on the winning side. So when you go up, people, to pray for someone, stop worrying about if you're good enough and all that kind of stuff. He's with you. He's got your back. And you know what? If you just believe, he'll perform an incredible miracle. Is that amazing? We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. Aren't you excited? Heaven's right behind you. And you're worried about it. We are to be witnesses. Isn't that what Acts 1:8 says? We are to be witnesses. We are to be his ambassadors. We are to represent him on earth. We are to be sent ones. We are not went ones. And if we are sent ones, I'm getting the words, the sent ones, the Lord works with us. Are you excited?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. It's impossible to be an ambassador of Christ, a representative of Christ, without demonstrating his supernatural power. God, you know, people are sick of words. I've never known a time in life when there's so many words. You know, if you want to know anything, you just Google it. But it's just words, 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 words. We all got an opinion. And you know, if you're on Facebook, man alive, some people really have an opinion. You don't know how many times I sit at that Facebook and I want to say something like, get off Facebook. But you know, so many words, all our opinions, you know. People are sick to death of words. Unless it's the word of God, they want to see the power where the rubber hits the road. They want to see change in their families. They want to see their children reunited with them. You know, people want to be restored. We have so much mental illness going on. People want to be whole. Come on, people. We got to know that we are went ones. We need to get out there and not speaking our opinion and our words, but we need to be speaking the power of God and seeing change. We need to take our position. You know, we're leaving our position. Our position is that we are representatives of Christ on earth. And I tell you, Christ, we are in extreme times. And Christ was in extreme times. The Romans were bruising the Jews. I mean, it was a terrible time he was in. But I tell you what, he still went out and did what God asked him to do. And he made a difference. And we're still talking about all the things he did 2,000 years ago. Yes. Come on. You're not just an ordinary person. You're a representative of Christ. You need to get hold of that. We need to stand up, Christians, and start representing him. Not with opinions, but with the love of God, with the power of God, with the kindness of God. Come on, let's get hold of this. It is so important. Praise God. Wow, praise God. Praise God. The miracle realm of God is always for a purpose. Miracles bring life, hope, love, healing, and freedom. Isn't that right, people? That is God's nature. And that's who we represent. It's never about us. It's demonstrating of powers are always redemptive in nature. I was in a service over in Condobolin, which is, if you don't know, somewhere out New South Wales, way out there. And, you know, I was in a service. A friend of mine actually started a church. She's single, 44. She went out there, slept in a car for weeks, and she started a church in Condobolin, which is mainly Aboriginal people, and it's incredible. Now she's got her own building, and now that she's got about 70 young Aboriginal people in the church, and only two of them were born again before. Is that incredible? When I went over the first time, I paid my own way over there. You've got to go on a big plane, and the sad part about it is you've got to go on a little plane. Oh, then I really have to know God's with me. And then I get to somewhere called Parks, and then you go for another hour to get to this place. Anyway, the first time I went there, she had a meeting in the house. She had about 25 young there. And when I walked in, they didn't even acknowledge me. They were all on the phones. They were just on their Facebook, like this, messaging. And I looked at Sharon and I said, "What's happening, Sharon?" She said, "Oh, they're talking about you." They were messaging each other, talking about me. And I thought, what do I do now? I'm a representative of Christ. So I just started talking and all that. And, you know, it was quite incredible. And so the next time I went the next year. I said, this is going to be more interesting. But this time was no phones. This time they actually ran out the building to greet me. Is that good? It was really amazing. Then the third time when I went there last year, Sharon said, you know what, they've been running around town and they bought 15 new young people. There were some older ones there, but mainly, you know, 18, 19, that sort of age, which is wonderful because, you know, that community it's horrendous there, the life they live and all that. And so, you know, these young ones are going to be changing it. And also the older ones are being touched and being drawn in because by the young ones, you know, which is great. So I get there and she said about 15 people. So I went up and most of those 15 were about 14, 15, 16. So I'm up there and all the time I'm saying, God, you know, give me the words, give me the words, give me the words. You know, I want to reach these people. Anyway, so I'm just preaching like I am now. And suddenly I stopped and I looked down and I saw this girl and she had, you know, had a T-shirt on. I can't remember, but Miss America or something. I stopped in the middle of my preaching, which I do quite often. And I just looked at her and I said, "Hey, Miss America." And I had no idea if she was one of the 15. And I just started speaking to Miss America's life, you know. And everybody was just looking at me because they'd never seen anything like this. And her eyes were getting bigger and all that. So next to her, I saw another girl who was bigger and older. And she could have been anything from 18 to 25. It's hard to say. I just looked at her. I said, "Hey, you got a T-shirt on too." I said, "I can't read it. What's on your T-shirt?" She said, "Well, it's not my T-shirt." And I said to her, "Well, whose T-shirt is it?" All in the middle of a service. And she said, "It's my brother's T-shirt." "Oh," I said, "it's his university T-shirt." And something clicked in me. And I said, "Why are you wearing your brother's university T-shirt? You should be wearing a university T-shirt. God's got a plan for you to go to university." And I started speaking to her life, had no idea who she was, didn't know if she was married or anything else. And I started speaking all this university into her life. And the whole place was like this by this time. And you know, and then when I finished speaking, I didn't do the altar call. Sharon's got an amazing anointing on our life. Isn't it great to pass it to those your morning to bring people to the Lord? The whole 15 came to the Lord. You know, out of that. But you know what happened? I didn't know that girl was going to university. She did want to be a teacher, as I said, but she couldn't handle the university. So she had walked out 2 weeks before, never to go back. And you know what? After that, you know what she did? She booked into another university and she is now doing the degree of being a teacher, which she always had a dream of. She'll go back to Condobra and change people's life all about a T-shirt. You know? Come on. Come on. Let's see God move. It was the most incredible, incredible thing. And she's still going to uni and doing so well. See, God doesn't expose our sin. God doesn't expose our shame or how bad things are, but he convicts us that we are in a position to make a decision. See, not everybody has a miracle, goes on with God, but they are placed in a position where they can make that decision because of miracles. Come on, people. He's a miracle-working God. And Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and did not love their lives to death." Overcame by the word of their testimony. Testimonies build faith. Every time a miracle happens, people's faith builds. And when people's faith builds, then testimonies happen. Amen? It's incredible what happens. Miracles, testimonies, whatever. When I was in India, I was at this meeting and I think there was 150 women packed in a room of 50, that whole 50 people, you know the feeling, whoever been there, and had one window over here and it was about 50 degrees. And I was speaking and all I could think of was I'm going to faint any moment and all I wanted was air. And when I looked over to the right, I saw two Muslim men sitting on the step. You know, men often come into the meetings. And so they were sitting on the step. And so after I finished, I couldn't wait to get air, but I went out to them and I said, oh, it's great to see you. You know, I noticed that you're in Muslim garb and you're Muslims. It's great you come to a meeting. And he said to me, we're not Muslims, we're Christians. We just haven't changed our costume yet. And I said, oh, wow. And I said to them, wow, what happened? And he said, see my arm? Well, his arm looked better than mine. It really did. It wasn't wrinkled as mine. Anyway, he held up his arm and it was perfect. And I said, what about your arm? He said, my arm was absolutely withered. My arm hung down like this and it was withered. And people confirmed it was just like a lump of skin just hanging. He said, one of the pastors here came to me and prayed for my arm and my arm was completely healed. And he said, and that man's here because my arm was healed. 20 more Muslims are back there serving Christ because my arm was healed. Amen. See, testimonies create a hunger to see more of the power of God. Greater expectation, isn't that right? For God to move in a miraculous way. You know, when there's expectation and we start sharing testimonies, it stirs up others. What did they do in the old days? They just talked. They talked, didn't they? They talked and talked about the miracles of God and the power of God. We got to start talking about the power of God, not just how we think about things. Come on, let's talk about Him. Psalm 145:6 says, men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Every time we hear a testimony and the power of God, we give Him the glory. I pray we never rob God of that glory. You know, miracles themselves give glory to God, the Bible says. They glorify God. You know, I used to say, my husband's been quite sick, and when people prayed for him, I used to say, so-and-so prayed for him. I don't do that anymore. I say, God touched him. Because it's God that's done the miracles. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 145, 108. So 145, 10 and 11. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They'll speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. For His glory. For His glory. But I love Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another. Come on, what are we saying, older people? What are we saying about the miracle power of God? What are we saying? And she'll declare your mighty acts. The message says, each one will tell stories of your mighty acts. When I was again, I went with Jossie Chacko quite a few years ago. As I said, I've been to India many times, many different ways. But I actually went over there with a team and did a pastor's conference with about 700 young men in that room that night. And a few women, but not many. And, you know, in the year before, a Swiss team had gone there. And when the Swiss team were there the year before, a couple came. They came 7 hours walking, rickshaw, any way they could. Because they'd been married 17 years and they couldn't have a baby. So they heard about this meeting. They didn't care it was a pastor's meeting. They cared that they knew God might touch them. So they came, the two of them. And, you know, the Swiss team prayed for this couple. And, you know, and so next year I came along with a team and doing the same thing. But they actually came to that meeting. What do you think they brought to that meeting? They brought a baby to that meeting. But I'm going to tell you something else. They not only brought a baby to that meeting, they brought 5 other couples. You have to understand, for that man to stay married to his wife for 17 years when she couldn't have children is a miracle. Because they diced the woman straight away. She's gone. She's finished. He'll get another one. But he hung on to his wife, believing God. They brought 5 more couples that night because they couldn't have children. Now, it was interesting because in that room, there was a little girl sitting there. Her name was Angel. Her parents were actually the leaders of the church of that area. Now, her mother, Daisy, actually wasn't at the meeting because she was actually pregnant. But she was very sick. but they were much older parents. And they had prayed for years and years to have Angel. Now Angel was 8, and they prayed another 8 years, and now they're about to have their second child. And, you know, and so Angel's sitting there. So they said to me, they called to me and said, Pastor Lynette, will you come and pray for these 5 couples? Well, I couldn't wait. I come running out the front. I was so excited. But as I went to pray, this little 8-year-old got out of her seat and she walked up to me and she said, I'll pray. 8 years of age. I'll pray. I said, of course. Well, she prayed. She prayed because she understood, see. She'd seen her parents go through it. And she prayed for every couple with such passion. You know, I'll tell you a secret. I thought I was going to fall pregnant. Because she was praying so hard. She prayed for every couple with passion and power. And I'm standing back and saying, oh, God, please, please. I'm too old. You know, and it was incredible. I just couldn't get over it. And you know what? And I kept in touch with them. And guess what happened the next year? The whole 5 came with babies. Come on. Come on. Let's believe in the miraculous power of God. Amen. Praise God. You know, we are to become true representatives of Christ. You know, we've got to be part of that signage because miracles are just a sign to the greater who is Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about? Jesus said, believe miracles and the signs will lead them. You know, Jesus said, look, if you don't believe in me, believe in the miracles that I do. Because he knew that when they saw miracles, then they would be drawn to him. See, we are just signage. We are signage. And every time we pray for people, we're just signage leading them to the greater, which is Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Remember his promise? I'll be with you. See, when you move out in faith, other words, be a sent one, not a went one. And in being obedient to his word, you're not on your own. You represent his name, his power, his character, his love. You ever thought how much he loves you? Have you really thought about the love of God? If we could just get hold of how much God loved us, can you imagine, people, how much love we could show other people? You know what I'm going to tell you? You, and you, and you are just the one God is looking for. Do you know that? You're just the one God is looking for to change the world. Do you know that? Young people, he's looking for you to change the world. Do you know that? Change the world. Isn't that amazing? You're probably sitting there, I think, I wish I could change my own world first. But that's great. But you are world changers. God has you seated here so you can get hold of the fact that you represent an amazing God. I know the peer pressure you're under. I know all the stuff that goes on Facebook about people. I can see all that. But I'm still going to tell you that you are representing Christ. Yeah. And you are not alone. But actually, that's the second one just there. Probably because you look Indian, that's probably why I picked you out, because I love you. But you know, don't stand back. Don't stand back. Really come to a revelation of how much God loves you. You know, really get hold of the revelation of who you are in him. I believe God's got his hand upon you. He's got his hand upon all us. I preached that last night. But you know, his hand is upon you. And sometimes you step back and you're inclined to let other people move forward. I'm going to break the fear of man off you right now. And I know that God, you are a sent one. God's going to use you and use you. But you've got to get hold of the fact it's not about what people say. It's about what he asks you to do. And it's about you obeying him. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let us give the Lord a clap. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Bring the house down. Bring it down. Come on, let's stand. Come on. Let's start glorifying him. Let's start glorifying Him. You want a miracle? Pull it down now. Pull the miracle down now. Come on. Come on. Believe. 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 I break the spirit of unbelief in this place. I break unbelief. I break unbelief. I break unbelief. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Who's a sent one in this place? Come on. Amen. Yes. Who knows that God is with you? Yes. Who knows that God's got your back? Yes. And He will never leave you? Yes. Who's believing to see a miracle today? Yes. Amen. Doesn't matter where you are. I could be in a restaurant, and I remember the owner of a restaurant. I could see he was really down. He went down in his little back room, so I followed him. And I prayed for him. And he's crying instead of cooking. But come on, it's not about me. Can't you understand? People are dying. People are going to hell. We serve a miracle-working God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.